Welcome to Supernatural Podcast, episode number 5 for Night Shifter, which originally aired in the US on January 25, 2006. Let's jump into the recap. Sam and Dee investigate a series of crimes and suicides in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, wherein people are behaving out of character and stealing from their place of business, and then committing suicide shortly thereafter. During their investigation, they come across Ronald Resnick, a victim who has conspiracy theories about mandroids. His amateur research reveals to Sam and Dean that the perpetrator of the is in fact a shapeshifter as previously seen in Season 1, Episode 6, Skin. Plotting out the path of the Skinwalker in accordance with city sewers, Sam and Dean pinpoint the next place of attack. Citibank, Milwaukee, imposes high security checks in order to view security camera footage and locate the undercover Skinwalker. They are interrupted when Ronald Resnick comes into the bank, chaining the door closed behind him, and brandishing a gun. Convincing Ron that he believes him, Dean helps Ron lock everyone in the bank into the vault and helps him seek out the creature. Unfortunately, it's already changed appearance by this stage, and tension of the episode is increased as it changes appearance multiple times. Sam, Dean, and Ron attempt to track it down in order to kill it, and Ron is shot and killed by a police sniper while in pursuit of the creature. Meanwhile, outside, the police are stationed, and they manage to see Dean's face as he leads an alien hostage out to the ambulance. Once Dean has been identified, the FBI come in, and it's revealed that an agent has been tracking the Winchesters for some time, and knows some details about their history and childhood. In fact, a lot of details. SWAT teams infiltrate the building while Dean fights and ultimately kills the Skinwalker. Sam and Dean escape the building by stealing and wearing SWAT team uniforms. So let's move on to the analysis and discussion with Josh. Hi, I'm Ellen.
And I'm Josh.
So, what did you think overall?
Overall, I thought it was a very intense, you know, edge of your seat, thrilling episode that was well made, but it definitely seems like it's taking the show in a new direction.
Yeah, overall, I think the season is getting a little unbalanced.
I can see that.
They're doing what they're doing great. They're just not always doing it the same way.
That's true. The hostage situation, you know, was definitely something very different for the series. And there's an introduction of what might be a new antagonist. And now they're both wanted for multiple murder. So mm-hmm. Although I'm anxious to find out what's going to happen next, I'm also a little nervous.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the third time we've seen shapeshifters.
Oh, right.
Okay. The first time, I'm like, oh, it's great, it's new. The second time, you know, it was like, oh, we saw it again. Great, they're picking up that storyline. That's really neat. They're following through on it. And now it's like,
right.
Okay, well, we had the same thing, but yet again, it's even on a bigger scale. It's thrilling, but this storyline is getting a little old. Like, they need to spice it up a little bit. Maybe something different than a shapeshifter for once.
Right.
I'm all for bringing in the cops and have this great thing, but did it have to be a shapeshifter again? Oh, and the other big thing was Sam's cast is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there was a lot to like about this episode.
There was.
I liked that Ronald was a non-hunter.
That was nice. I liked the fact that an ordinary person was able to almost figure out what was going on, because with all the strange stuff happening around in the world, it does seem like, you know, once in a while that somebody would actually figure stuff out.
It did seem a little Roswell, but, you know, he was a little bizarre and kind of that creepy guy in the cabin away, you know, Unabomber sort. But
right.
He was, you know, just a little paranoid, but he was cool. I liked him a lot.
I agree. And along those same lines, I really liked the moment when he realized that he wasn't crazy. It was just like, you know, such relief that when he realized that the stuff that he'd figured out was something that was important and not just going around the bend. It was definitely intense, and I admit that I gasped and clutched at my pearls when he got shot, you know.
Oh, it was so sad. The look on Dean's face. Really good balance to the episode. There was some humor, and he wasn't just some random character that was useless. I mean, he really did provide a lot of interesting stuff and kind of made the guys think of things in a different way.
That was the whole thing with Sam trying to save as many people as he can. So he wants to keep Ronald out of the situation, but of course ends up backfiring. And I wonder if we're going to see any consequences on Sam's conscience for that.
It's true. But there really wasn't anything he could do about that. I mean, there was SWAT outside, which was cool. That was a great, you know, thing when they send that team in. And there was so much anxiety and edge of your seat sort of stuff with it.
Right. Starting with the beginning, I mean, they break into the previously on segment, you know, to do a fake newscast, which was pretty neat, and it definitely started the episode with a bang.
Yeah, I thought that was great. We haven't seen that before. I mean, they didn't ease into it, and they're looking at newspapers. I mean, they jumped right in. The premise on how that all happened is more in the don't like category. So let's finish up on what we did like. I did like the FBI detective. And it's been hinted that he might be a reoccurring character. They kind of set him up at that. So
right.
I was wondering what you thought. Do you think we'll see him again?
I think so. He seemed to know way too much about Sam and Dean and the whole situation to, you know, just be on the periphery. I think he'll probably become some kind of antagonist. The action junkie in me enjoyed the fight scenes at the end. I did appreciate Kung Fu Sammy taking out the SWAT guys. And
I thought for sure that Dean would have the knife above the body again. I was like, don't touch it. Don't touch the body. Stop touching the body, Dean.
Right. I didn't notice. Did he leave that letter opener in the body or did he take it with him?
I don't know. I didn't catch that. It all moved pretty quickly.
Right.
But I just thought for certain they would catch him and I don't know how he was going to get out. Maybe it was a to be continued sort of thing. Yeah, it was great how they tied it up though.
And yeah, and I did like the ending. I think, you know, instead of them being thrilled or excited about getting away, it's definitely realistic. Like, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think they would just hop in their car and speed off, but I mean, they were just so stunned after what had happened and that they got out, and now Sam's a fugitive too.
I thought it was a great use of the Renegade song by Styx at the end as well.
Ah, awesome. Yeah, they haven't used a lot of music this season, but what they used it really well. Let's move on to what we didn't like.
All right.
Like I said, it seems a little unbalanced to me. It's really different from season one. You know, I don't expect it to be just like season one, which I loved. I think they're doing a lot more sort of over-the-top stuff.
Right.
You know, it's like you have this great, I mean, it's kind of going along at this normal pace, and then you have, boom, this huge thing happen. And I think that's great, but at the same time, it's just getting to be almost two different shows.
I think that's a good way of putting it. I'm not, you know, saying I don't like it. I do like, you know, the exciting episodes, but it, like you said earlier, it makes it feel a little uneven. Like we had one episode, you know, Sam finds out about his past and they had that Ava thing, and then you know, once they skip to something else and then they skip back to this exciting SWAT episode, it does seem like it's up and down.
I do like it, but, you know, and now they're really stuck in a corner.
Right.
Like, how are they going to get out of this? It's not like they can just go off and drive into the sunset like they usually do and go to the next case.
Right.
They are both going to be fugitives now.
Exactly. And that is my big, you know, fear or my apprehension about this whole thing is like, what are they going to do next? Are they going to have to go underground? Are they going to show up on America's Most Wanted? Is this going to be the new Prison Break? You know, what's going to happen now? And while it'll be exciting to find out, I just hope they don't, you know, write themselves into a corner.
Well, and that really bothered me. And I don't think you watched Charmed, but in one of the later seasons, the police thought that they had killed these people. And so they used magic to change their facial appearance so that other people would see them differently.
Oh.
Even though when you saw it kind of from their perspective, they all looked the same. So they brought in this other set of actresses.
Oh,
that
really?
That would be the other set. I was just like, okay, I like the show, but this is so ridiculous, I can't even begin to tell you. What?
That sounds very complicated.
I'm like, yeah, what? It really was. I'm like, oh, please. But they were in the spot where they were, you know, they had the police after them and they couldn't do anything else. And they had kids involved. So, I mean, they couldn't just like up and run away somewhere. I don't know. I'm like, oh, please don't do something really bad like that.
Right.
Please don't do that because that was terrible. I mean, luckily, they got out of it in a few episodes.
Well, I appreciate the fact that they acknowledge that their actions and, you know, these killings, these huntings that they go on, you know, are going to have consequences with the law and all that situation. You know, it's nice that they don't just ignore that, but if it becomes the focus of the show, you know, them running from the law or being like the Hulk, you know, doing good from town to town, but then getting chased off at the end, if that's going to be too much of a burden.
Yeah, I mean, unless they have a friend in law enforcement that can, you know, get them out of things, at the end of the episode. I mean, I liked it, but I wasn't as excited about that episode as I was like for the one previous. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's nice, but now I'm worried.
Right.
You don't finish the sort of, oh, that's nice, you know, oh, I can't wait for next week, and you just kind of float along. But this one, I'm like, oh, boy. And I would say the other thing that really bothered me was the FBI agent. Yes, I really liked him, but I didn't like him all at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Is he possessed?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, that's the only reason I could think that he would know so much stuff. I mean, sure, the police may have a record and be able to track things, especially like if they're doing credit card fraud and they can figure out the pattern and follow him.
Right.
They'd be able to, I mean, an FBI agent could figure that out, but he knows way too much.
Right. Well, that's a good question. You have to wonder if the FBI and specifically this guy's involvement is going to upset the Yellow-Eyed Demon's plans. Is he going to, you know, be a part of them? Or, you know, not have anything to do with it at all.
And I was watching an episode with a friend who, when it went to commercial break after he first showed up, we're like, huh, he got to Milwaukee awfully fast.
Right.
I could see maybe, you know, because the boys are usually in the Midwest somewhere.
Right.
He may be based out of St. Louis or, you know, Minneapolis or something, but he got to Milwaukee really darn quick.
That's true. That makes you wonder how long this whole hostage situation was going on.
Either that or maybe he's some sort of demon and could just go wherever pretty quickly.
No, I think that's about it. I mean, when the episode was on, I was really enjoying it, I admit. And then my apprehension came when it all ended, you know, fear of what's going to happen next.
And I started thinking about the ceiling demon again, like you mentioned. I mean, is he part of it or... is this going to mess up his plans? And I personally think that maybe the ceiling demon made the shapeshifter go there to lead them into a trap. If Sam is a fugitive, it may make him go all dark side and join up with the ceiling demon, thinking he has no other alternative but to kind of go underground and not do what he had originally wanted to do. Maybe it'll kind of push him.
Right, that makes sense. I mean, if Sam and Dean are, you know, hated and feared by the people that they're trying to help, that would probably make them more than a little bitter about the whole situation and maybe a little more likely to give up their do-gooding quest.
You know, it's funny because there's so little discussion on this episode out there right now. Nobody's talking about it. The usual people haven't written their reviews yet. There's just not a lot of talk out there right now. Most of the talk is about next week's episode. People are really looking forward to it. But this one, it was kind of a skip over, which is weird.
Yeah, it seems, you know, they've got television coverage, they're on the news, there's, you know, multiple deaths in that situation that they're going to get blamed for. So it just seems like their whole little operation has gone, you know, at least countrywide, and I don't know, taken to a larger scale. How are they going to remain so under the radar with everybody now? Yep. And do they have a new arch nemesis in this FBI guy?
Yeah, I mean, is he human? Is he demon? Is he possessed? The law just finally caught up with him?
Right. Maybe he'll pull a Linda. Maybe it'll be a whole, you know, Linda Blair thing where they end up helping him and he comes around to their point of view and starts seeing them as an asset instead of a couple of mass murderers.
But we had some great moments with Dean and the girl, the desk clerk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we saw him be suave, you know, pick up the girl's Dean again, which was a nice touch. I liked that.
Yep, you know, getting her number, because that's his thing. And then that girl in the vault was pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
Has he always been so brave?
Sam just has this look of pure irritation on his face.
Right.
He's my brother. Yeah. They all like him. Not me. Did you catch that... Sam's FBI badge was signed Han Solo?
No, I did not.
They haven't had one of those names in a while, but...
I thought it was pretty funny when they were talking about the other theory about the robot, and he was saying that the guy, you know, does the Terminator thing and takes their appearance, and it's like a giant wand doll. And it's pretty funny that Sam was referred to as Bonnie to Dean's Clyde.
So funny. Poor Sam. I think my favorite quote was probably the one that said, Dean said, "Freaking cops." And Sam was like, "They're just doing their job." And Dean said, "No, they're doing our job, only they don't know it, so they suck at it."
That's great. Yep. I liked it when he also said about the security guard, I like him. He says okie doke.
And then they're watching. They're like, looks like Mr. Okie Dokie is okie dokie. Oh, that was so great when they posed to those security guards that are hanging out, checking on people.
Oh, right. Zooming in on people.
We haven't seen him in costume for a while.
That's right. They got to wear several this time. I think it was a really straightforward episode. I mean, a lot happened, but it wasn't, I don't know, it was easy to tell what was going on for the most part.
Okay, so moving on, let's talk about legends and references. I didn't really want to go back through the whole history of Skinwalkers, so if you would like some backstory and like to know what the legends are behind it, you can check out my review for Skin, which I did a lot of interesting stuff on. So, at any rate, we see Ronald with the 14 times, and on the cover are mandroids. The quote, "He's your Bonnie to your Clyde," refers to Bonnie Barker and Clyde Barrow, and they were notorious robbers and criminals who traveled the central U.S. during the Great Depression. The line was originally in the script for The Usual Suspects, but never made it into the final cut. Sam's FBI ID names him as Han Solo, a Star Wars reference, of course. And Ronald's line, "I knew it as soon as you two left. You ain't FBI. Who are you? Who are you working for, huh? The Men in Black?" Well, that references the 1997 movie Men in Black, starring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones as government agents dedicated to dealing with alien menaces. Ron likens the story of mandroids to those in Terminator 2. Terminator 2 is from 1991. It's a science fiction film directed by James Cameron, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, Edward Furlong, and Robert Patrick. The newer, sleeker model of Terminator played by Robert Patrick is constructed of liquid metal and is able to take on the physical form of any solid object of equal size that it samples through touch. The article we have tonight is Night Shifter, 5 Things I Loved About This Episode by Krista. Number 1, Ronald. I just like the guy. He seemed like he was a nice, friendly, if out there kind of guy who just got too wound up in a terrible situation. It was hard not to sympathize both with Dean's connection to him as a would-be hunter and Sam's reticence to get him too involved, especially when they realized it was a shapeshifter they were dealing with. He also got a terrific reaction out of Sam throughout the show and gave him some great lines. "We're not working for the Mandroid," and "Hi, Ron," to name a few. It was a great take on a person in peril because he was trying to be proactive but way out of his league. When he gets shot in the bank, they've built the character up to such a point it means something. Love that. Number 2, the intensity. The way the episode was shot, the adding of the new FBI agent who is on their case and knows enough about them to be dangerous, the fact that they were all locked in with a killer who could be anyone, and can I say how glad I am that the shifter didn't become Sam or Dean this time? They sidestepped revisiting old ground and went someplace new. All of it added up to make a really intense episode. There really was danger on all sides. Number 3, the fight scenes. I thought that we've been long missing some good hand-to-hand fighting a la Skin, and here we definitely had it in spades. Sam gets to take out a couple SWAT guys without breaking a sweat. Sherry, the banker, did a great job of looking extra strong while she was in shapeshifter mode and fighting with Dean. It didn't look like he could break her in half, but instead it looked like an actual fight between two fairly evenly classed opponents. The believability, even with the gross skin loss, was high and just added more fun to the episode. Number 4, in Medea's Race. From the very beginning, the show just dove right into the action. There wasn't any quibbling about should they take the job, was it their kind of job, or what it was going to mean. There was the breaking news and everything was already in motion. I think they worked really well to keep the pacing on this episode up and keep you guessing. Number 5, the final sequence. Let's just face it, that was just classic, and more importantly, it was classic because it was anguished, Winchester style. They are well and truly screwed, and you can read it all over their faces. The pause and sticks as renegade while they take off their SWAT gear and absorb how much everything has changed, how much more danger they are in, how they've got 1,000 more worries runs through the screen and into the viewer. Then Dean acknowledges that, but we know that they're going ahead anyway, and the music kicks up and the boys drive off. It's one of those moments when Supernatural really becomes more than you ever thought it could, just by playing its own elements so well. Here's hoping for more. Let's move on to music. In this episode, they played Renegade by Styx, which was well placed in the closing scene. The song of the night tonight is Insomnia by Josh Woodward. Enjoy.
When thought I was bad. Swear that I didn't come sit in this chair. Yeah, I guess that's fine. It's only something 49. Sleep it off tomorrow if I can.
That's it for this episode. A nice, short, sweet little episode for you. Join us again next week when we review the next all-new episode. Have a great week and take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Podcast. You can visit my website at supernaturalpodcast.blogspot.com or send me an email at supernaturalpodcast@gmail.com. Please note that the opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and not of the producers of Supernatural or the CW. Audio clips played on this podcast are property of the CW and no infringement is intended. Some of the music heard here is from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.